talking with Deb several nights ago, and she said, oh, please share that at fellowship. So it's a bit of a testimony, but also I kept looking at different scripture verses that just God was working in my heart. And we had left off before we got disconnected, so we can just begin there again, is Philippians chapter 4. And I want to just begin with this, because it's something that we can't think two thoughts at the same time. And if we want to have blessings and peace, we got to get rid of fear and being anxious or something. So in chapter 4, verse 6, it begins, be careful for nothing, or we know some of the versions say to be anxious or nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And that word careful, as I said, it means anxious. Don't be anxious. You know, got to put that aside so we can get the latter verse. And verse 7 says, and the peace, and, so it's a continuation of thoughts from the previous verse, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, which different translations is, which transcends all understanding, shall, which is absolute, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, which I really think have comfort in that. This is a promise to us. Keep is to guard. God guards us. Our hearts, our minds. And several years ago, I went, after not being connected with any of the ministries, went to a women's weekend, and I got ministered to by the woman of God there. And I went there because I didn't have this peace. It's a lot of stuff going on. And once I'd been ministered to, and I was smiling, and the woman of God asked me, you know, why I was smiling. I said, do you hear that? And she said, no, what do you hear? And I said, nothing. Nothing. I looked at her and I said, is this the peace of God? Because I had all the classes I went through, all the ministry I had been attending, I never had that quietness in my mind, and it was gone, and I had the peace of God. And what I'm leading into now, as far as receiving blessings, is that a lot of people know, so those of you who don't, aren't aware of me, in the summer of 2008, I was with a group of people on motorcycles, riding my own. Some we knew, some we didn't, on a long trip to Colorado. And everyone knows Illinois roads are always under construction. And suddenly we went from 65 miles per hour down, you know, to stop, down to one lane. But some of the people in back of me were not paying attention. And at which point, when I was stopped, I got hit from behind at 40 miles per hour and woke up on the highway. And so I have no, my own memories. I have other people's memories of what happened to me. And at the very time, at the very moment I got hit, I was actually praying for people. I mean, there was a whole list of people I would just go through, and I would thank God for them with my understanding, and I would speak it, and I was praying at the very moment that the impact happened. But I survived. I woke up, had a severe concussion. So some people already know about some of this, so thank you for your patience. 1 week later, after some of my recovery time, I told my husband, I'm going to go to the doctor's office, sign the papers so they can get all the paperwork from the emergency room. He goes, you sure? You feeling okay? Yeah, I'm doing better. He says, so I got it. I said, if I have any issues, I will stop the car and just wait till I go through an event. What would happen is that I would actually reboot. During that week time, my severe concussion, and I was listening to Christian tapes and stuff, is that I would say I'm taking a nap, but actually I would actually go to sleep for 2 to 3 hours until my brain allowed me to be awake again. So there I am driving into town, and I went to my doctor's office, and I witnessed to these ladies, seeing how God protected me. Here I am, was in a severe, you know, motorcycle accident. Cost more to fix the motorcycle, I said, than me. And I was believing for healing, and I witnessed to these ladies, and the one thing I've always been blessed at, and when I've gone to different events, I don't know if anyone remembers Joelle Novell. Joelle, she's in one of the other ministries. She would watch me as we would go to different people in stores, and I would just start talking the word to people. I get excited about talking the word. And so here I am witnessing the word to these ladies at the doctor's office. Left there, and what I've done in my walk is I've gone in baby steps. I said, okay, God, where do you want me to go next? And whether it's go get gas or get stamps, I look for people. I look for people that I can help, that I can minister to, that I can pray for, that I can just help. And it's really cool when we ask God, when we say, you know, I don't have anyone to witness the word. I'm studying, but I have no one to ask God for that. So I go to the McDonald's, get my coffee mocha. I'm sitting there. And I go, okay, God, where would you like me to go? Because if you don't let me know, I'm going to go home. And it was quiet. Okay, God, I'm going to go home unless there's someone else that needs me. Okay, so I put my seatbelt on, put it in drive, pull out of the McDonald's. And in Pekin, it is a side street that goes up to our main roadway through Pekin. And they go quite fast, and it's a Wednesday, it's noon, it's congested. So if you guys can picture any type of busy area in your community, it's super busy, it's hard to get across. And as I sat there at the red light, I'm just talking to God. Thank you, God, for what a blessing that I got to talk to those ladies and praise you, God, for those ladies, how you saved me in that motorcycle situation. Thank you, God, that you're just working in my heart and giving me opportunities. And at which point I'm just talking to God, and I could see out of my side vision the traffic is stopping. You know, when you think about it, you can see the side traffic, like, okay, my light's going to change from red to green. And as I look up at the green light, and I'm just talking to God, not within me, next to me, I am being told in a loud male voice, wait, which sort of shook me, and I looked down, okay, God, my light is green, but you just told me to wait, so I'm just going to sit here now, God. Okay, thank you, God. Okay, but, you know, people are around me, God, and as I go to look up at the light again that's green, I get told a second time. It's established, right? Wait. And I went, okay, you know, because don't hear voices like that.
Yes.
And suddenly, going through a solid red line is an overloaded, fully loaded semi-truck. Goes right behind me, right in front of me. Which, if you've ever gone around a corner and you almost collide with someone, you go, whoa, I didn't see you coming. I had that too. And I grab the steering wheel with my left hand, and I put my right hand in the air, and I go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. If I would have pulled out at any time, that truck would have rolled over me. Thank you, Almighty God. And I said, breathe out. I grabbed both steering with both hands, and I slowly inched my way into the intersection, and I looked at everybody like, you all see that? Did you all see that? And as I drove home, I thought, oh my God, thank you, Father. Twice you saved my life. The first time in that motorcycle accident, the second time you had me wait through a green light. So I want you all to know is that sometimes, you know, I don't complain about red lights anymore. And think about this. There are so many times in our lives that God has saved us from a total catastrophe that we're not even aware of. We thank God for blessing our food. We thank God for blessing our water. We thank God for, you know, keeping us safe. And He is already working out the details to keep us safe that we have no knowledge of a semi coming right in front of us. But when Christ comes back, we're going to be able to see that. And I have some people at work in different places always say, why are you always so happy? You're just always so happy and smiling. Well, this is even before that situation, but even since then, I tell them, I go, I know that at least two times in my life, at least two times, that literally God has saved me from, that I'm here. that the adversary wanted me and could have had me dead. I am so thankful, I am so blessed, and I want everyone who's hearing this knowing that. I seriously say is when I talk to you and I see you, I know you can't see me right now on this screen, but when I think about you, I know you are a tremendous blessing in my life, because technically back in 2008, I was supposed to be dead. And I think of the blessings I have of hearing the word taught by all of you, seeing you, there's Alex, there's Chuck, everybody, Kimberly, Brian, and Maria, hi there, I can see you even though you can't see me, and you are an absolute blessing in my life. What joy I have, I'm trying not to cry right now, but I know each day is a blessing to me. How about if we go to Ephesians chapter 3? Ephesians chapter 3. And Ephesians chapter 3, I hope everyone there, verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, I read that whole context, and sometimes if you have a whole context, it goes from like 16 to 21. One thing I like to use as a witness to people is that I try to practice as best I can and believe that God wants to bless me more than I can ask or think. I work really hard of getting God out of any type of shoebox that I mentally or emotionally put him in, that he's bigger than that. Get him out of the shoebox and believe God wants to bless me more than I can think or ask. So when I'm praying for people, I know God's even doing more for them that I might not even know about until after Christ comes back. And when I was part of a secular church in Pekin, Illinois, and being an elder there, and when I would take communion to the shut-ins, the one thing I would pray with those people to give them something to hold on to before I left is in Nehemiah chapter 8, please. Nehemiah chapter 8. I've got a cheater tab, so I'm already there.
What verse?
Nehemiah chapter 8.
What verse?
I'll be there soon. Y'all there? Okay. Chapter 8 and in verse 10. It's at the latter end of the verse. Now the front part it says go eat and drink and, you know, there's other things in that context. But it says, for whom nothing is prepared. It says, for this day is holy unto the Lord. And the one thing I give those people when I pray with them, the seniors, bring them communion, neither be ye sorry. But it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as a witness, what I like to leave them, I have them repeat to me is, I want you to repeat it with me. The joy of the Lord
is my strength.
Chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord, to the last end of that verse. And I have these people repeat to me, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my... And that, you know something? You know, when I'm going through that healing process, after I had that severe concussion, or anything else, that, you know, when the adversary tries to throw confusion and anxiety at us, I run through these verses that God wants to bless me more than I can ask for things, and I hold on tight to the promises. The joy of the Lord is my strength. His joy. Think about that. You know, why do you smile all the time, Terry? Well, what about you guys? You know, when we go around and we smile to somebody, that could be it might be the only time a person has smiled to them that day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I see someone I haven't seen for a while and I'm walking through these buildings, sometimes someone has seen me that was stationed or happened to be deployed when I was in Afghanistan, they'll see me. My first thing is I'll stretch my arms to see if they're receptive to that, because some people, you know, they have a distance thing, they'd rather have a handshake. And if they allow me, I'll give them a hug. I say, it is great to see you, and I'll be smiling. And if I make that much of a positive difference to others, I think, thank you, God, I have this day, another day that I can praise God, and I give God the glory, because twice I know of when the adversary was trying to kill me, and I survived, and God kept me safe. So I hope these verses are a blessing to you. I know I didn't go on, and I didn't go through the Greek and Aramaic, but I hope you just realize that every time you speak God's word to others, anytime you're praying for someone, you're keeping catastrophe and ailment away from them.
Yep.
Because the blood of Christ covers them, the blood of Christ covers us, and we can speak His authority and give healing, give blessing to others.
And who knows, sometimes it may just be eye contact.
Oh, yes.
That blesses us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you can...
Because you were there at that one time.
Yeah.
You were the person that did that.
You bet.
Yeah.
I think that you can claim three times that God delivers you, starting with that time that you got ministered to.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Because I'm sure that that saved your life as well.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a sidebar with what you just said, Charlie, was that in the middle of being ministered to, and I was being ministered to, I wanted ministered for mental and spiritual issues.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of being ministered to, the person stopped, placed their hands on my belly, and said, God, I don't know what's going on here, but you said there's something here, and I want you to get rid of it if it doesn't belong and cause absolute healing. Well, 2 weeks, I didn't tell this person is that 2 weeks later, I actually had an ultrasound that I was scheduled for. Because my blood work was coming back really controversial. My doctor wouldn't tell me what it was. And when I had an internal ultrasound, the lady goes, why are you here? I go, what do you mean? She goes, and then she showed me the picture on the screen. She says, well, see this is your cervix, this is your uterus. And most of the time when I have people come in here, it's because there's something here like cancer or something. And right now I see nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I witnessed to her that I says, well, 2 weeks ago I was at a women's conference. And I got ministered to, and she actually put her hand on my stomach. And so when I went back to my doctor, she scratched her head because I was supposed to have something, and it was gone. She took additional blood work from me, and the blood work from the first time to the latter half were two different people.
Mm-hmm.
I was completely delivered and healed. So, yes, you're right, Charlie. When I got ministered to, that was a deliverance also.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, at camp I was able to tell a little story about getting a phone call from Casey Adams. And he said that when he called me, he said, I don't know why I'm calling except to let you know that you've been on my heart and I've been praying for you. He said, is there anything wrong? And I said, no, I think everything's going well right now, but thanks for praying for me. And please keep it up. But as I hung up the phone, the thought that I had was, I wonder what he just saved me from.
Yeah.
Because the when we pray for people, that's making intercession for them. And,
yes.
You know, we don't know everything that's going on in somebody's life, but when God impresses upon us to pray for someone, then for sure pray for them. And you know, that as a part of our normal prayer life, that we're praying for people like you were on that bike when you got hit. Sometimes God impresses on us to pray for people specifically. And we don't need to know what's going on, but we sure can pray perfectly for them.
Oh,